Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Endings are very important, and often important lessons can be learned in endings, right? What type of endings? Well, in athletics, the ending of a game or an athletic season. In agriculture, the ending of either planting or harvest season. In politics, the ending of a term in leadership. In life, the ending of one's earthly journey. These days, we're looking closely at the biblical record of the end of the nation of Israel around 2,600 years ago. This final siege of the city of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army lasted more than 2 years. During that time, King Zedekiah and the government leaders in Jerusalem remained defiant, proud, and rejected Jeremiah the prophet each time he had a message from God. Jeremiah records for us that he was even imprisoned and persecuted in Jerusalem under siege as leaders tried to silence him from bringing God's messages to the people of Jerusalem. As you look around the world in our generation, have you seen evidence that governments or powerful, influential people have tried to silence those speaking God's truth? The Jewish religious leaders at the temple also remained defiant, refusing to call the people or the king back to God. So, God had a final message through Jeremiah for these failed religious leaders. Jeremiah chapter 23 begins, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. "Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done." Jeremiah 23, verse 1 and 2. In many places in the Bible, God refers to leaders, especially religious leaders, as shepherds. Of course, both in the Old and New Testament, when God is speaking about shepherds and sheep, the sheep are people like you and me. God holds shepherds to a very high standard because of the influence and responsibility they have for those people who follow and trust them. So, Jeremiah's message also had a future hope for God's people because God in the future would be the great shepherd who would draw his people back to him. Jeremiah 23 continues, "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified," declares the Lord. Jeremiah 23, verse 3 and 4. You may recall in John chapter 10, Jesus spoke about himself being the good shepherd who loves his sheep so much he actually gave his life for them. He always protects his sheep, people. Jesus warned about false or failed shepherds. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." John chapter 10. Do those words bring a smile to your face, my friends? Don't you love the fact that with God there is always hope, no matter the despair? Is Jesus Christ your great shepherd? Do you hear his voice leading you? Do you follow him joyfully, confidently, even courageously, as Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel did? In fact, these words from Jeremiah I'd like us to consider today may stir your heart to shout with celebration, for in those very dark and fearful days in Jerusalem, the very next words Jeremiah received from God pointed forward to Jesus. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. This is, of course, a description of Jesus, the Son of God, who came into our world to be our righteous Savior. Jesus' victory over sin, Satan, and death provides to any person, anywhere, of any generation, the opportunity to experience God's rescue of us from the domination of our bondage to sin and condemnation to an eternity apart from God, which is perish. This name for God here is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means God is righteous and holy. Perhaps you're saying, but wait a minute. In the days of Jesus, Israel did not live in safety, and Jesus was not recognized as a king. In fact, he refused to exert his authority and cause any political or military revolt. So how can these words of Jeremiah be fulfilled in Jesus? Oh, my friends, that's the magnificent wonder of God the Son, Jesus Christ, who, yes, came to earth in his first Advent incarnation to become our Savior, and Jesus will come again in his second Advent to be King and establish his kingdom of righteousness for 1,000 years, reigning from Jerusalem. That time is known as the Millennial Kingdom, referred to in several places, including Zechariah chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 20. For Jews living in Jerusalem under siege in 587 BC, hearing these words from Jeremiah, they of course took great hope that these promises of God would one day become reality, but they could not possibly imagine what it would be like or that it would happen in their generation. For Jews living in the days of Jesus, they reflected on these words in the old preserved Jeremiah scrolls and wondered if it was possible this miracle working man named Jesus from Nazareth might be the fulfillment of these promises. But most doubted it and rejected Jesus. But for you and me, living in 2025, we look back having the advantage of understanding 2,600 years of history, and God asks you and me to make a decision. Was Jeremiah speaking of Jesus? Is he the Good Shepherd? And did he accomplish becoming our righteous Savior? Is this resurrected, ascended, reigning Jesus, the victorious King, who will one day in the future return to earth to establish his world-dominating kingdom of righteousness? So, what is your answer, my friends? And what is your personal relationship with this Jesus predicted by Jeremiah 2,600 years ago? I think we need to pause right here. Reread those great promises of Jeremiah in chapter 23, verse 1 to 8, and ask ourselves about the truth of Jesus and history, and where we stand in relationship to this Jesus.